When I walk into the Sassy Olive, downtown Allegan, I see all kinds of bright headbands, that most of all kinds of bright and interesting things. But I wonder about the name, the Sassy Olive. Where does the name come from?
So my business is actually named after my family dog, Olive. And when I started my business in 2014, I was in between undergrad and grad, so I was still living at my parents' house. So even though I have my own dog now that I love very much, at the time she was my only pet and she was my favorite thing ever, so I wanted to name it after her, but I didn't know exactly what word to put with it. So my mom and I went to the pickle and olive aisle at Meijer and were like reading off things as we read the labels and stuff, and I was between the happy olive and the sassy olive, and then settled on the sassy olive because it felt like it fit me a little better.
So you came up with the idea, I understand, while interning at a hospital and waiting tables and also caring for your grandmother. Tell us that story of how you came from that kind of a background. And I understand you have a master's in public health.
Yep.
So how do you go from that to making headbands?
Well, it kind of was an accident. Like, I remember when I first started making the headbands in my parents' basement, it kind of developed out of a need because I had super long hair at the time and I couldn't find any headbands that fit my style and also actually worked while I was either running around the hospital or bartending and running around restaurants. So I went to Hobby Lobby one day and got a few yards of fabric. And I was staying with my grandma because she had just had back surgery. So during the day when I didn't have my internship, I would hang out with her just to keep an eye on her so she couldn't be alone. And I said, "Hey, Gram, show me how to use your sewing machine. I want to make a couple headbands. I have some ideas." And I had never sewn before that. I've always been pretty crafty, but had never sat down and sewn something at a sewing machine. So she set me up on her 40-year-old Viking sewing machine, and I made a few headbands. And then I started wearing them, and then the girls that I was working with started wearing or asking about them, so I made some more, and then ultimately decided to open an Etsy and started making them out of my parents' basement, like I said, literally on a ping pong table. And then that was, I remember when I first started, I told my parents, like, "Wow, wouldn't it be cool if I could pay my way through grad school doing this?" And they were like, "Yeah, that's cool, honey, like, good goal. You go." And then I did. And that was, I didn't work through grad school. I didn't bartend. I just ran my Etsy, did art shows. And a lot of people don't realize that I don't have any background in business or fashion design or anything like that. And I actually have 2 degrees from the University of Michigan. And my undergrad is in Spanish and evolutionary anthropology. And my master's is a master's of public health in hospital and molecular epidemiology.
Do you ever think, gee, I should have gone the other way? Or is this completely clicked into your passion?
No, this is, I can't imagine myself working in a hospital now. And while I still love public health and epidemiology, and I've always been big into science, and that's how I ended up stumbling into epidemiology, I'm my own boss and I get to be creative in so many ways that I never even knew I was and could be. And I can't imagine doing anything else. And I also get to provide jobs for 18 people.
18, not bad. Yeah. Well, you know, for anybody in the area that knows Allegan, it's not a big town. And we do have a few empty buildings here and there. So kudos to you for making it work. And not too terribly long after you opened. Well, you started in one place, then you moved to a bigger place pretty quickly, in fact. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. How did you get through all of these changes?
Well, it was interesting. I probably consumed a lot more Tito's than I normally would have the past 6 months or so. But it was a hard decision to make when we realized we were going to have to close the store to lay off all my employees. But I knew they were going to be taken care of, and they had unemployment, and they ended up being fine. And I decided, you know, like, I'm seeing this mask shortage happening, and this was, like, at the very beginning, I think around St. Patrick's Day. And so I told my fiance, I was like, You know, I think I'm gonna try and like donate some face masks to local healthcare workers. Like, there's clearly a big shortage here, and why not? I have so much fabric in the building. So I put a form on our website where I was like, hey, if you like want to, or if you guys need masks, go ahead and fill out this form and we'd be happy to donate to you. And we got over 10,000 requests in less than a day. So that got out of hand very quickly. But I mean, it was the same way. I feel like my business has always grown very quickly. And I personally like to have the pedal to the metal at all times and see what I can do next. So I quickly adapted and I got a group of local volunteers that would pick up and drop off to help me attach the elastic. And so we did switch to producing masks more so than headbands for a short period of time. But then I ended up running a fundraiser on the website where if people bought certain patterns, then we would use that money to fund the mask making. And ultimately we've donated over 35,000 face masks since March and sold another 15,000, 20,000, somewhere in there. And for everyone that we sell, we donate. So, or at least we are still donating if people contact us, if they're healthcare workers or essential workers or whatever. So we still donate, but it was, that really gave us a big push right away then to kind of adapt our online presence. I've always had my website, but this whole thing with having the store closed and not having art shows, it really gave us a chance to work on other areas of my business that we didn't have time for before. Ultimately, I guess it was kind of a blessing in disguise, even though it's been a really terrible year overall.
Yeah.
But it just really gave me time to do things that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to get done this year, especially with my team that I have working with me. Very thankful for them.
Some of the masks that you're selling, they're different than what I've seen anywhere else. There's a button mask. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, so the button is actually attached to a headband. And so the buttons go kind of just right behind where your ear is on the headband. And the elastic then attaches to the button instead of on your ear. And that developed out of a need. I had seen a post circulating on Facebook, and I literally can't even tell you how many people sent it to me about this nurse that had put buttons on her headband and no one was selling them. So I was like, oh, I don't think we can take that on right now. And then like 2 days later, I was like, all right, we're making button bands. That's how I roll. And they actually, once I made one, I was like, all right, I'm going to make one and try it on and like see what this hype is about. Because if it's going to help our healthcare and essential workers, then I need to do it. And I made one and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's very comfortable. So we have our masks, which I also made that pattern. I've never found a pattern online for any of my items. I just kind of play around and mess with them and figure out the measurements on my own. And with the masks, every tutorial or whatever I saw online was for a sewing machine, and we use sergers, which is a type of a sewing machine, but it's different. And so I had to figure out a way for us to be able to use our machines and mass produce them. So it was just a whirlwind, I feel like. But the button bands, that's what we ended up calling them, the button bands, really took off, and a lot of people were really happy. And we also donated a lot of those to different nurses in the area as well.
I understand also that recently you've started, rather than sending out your designs to be printed, that you're starting to print your own fabrics. How did that happen, and how is that changing what you do?
So this has been going back to how did I adapt during this pandemic, of which I didn't really mention the different things we had to do in our store and putting up plexiglass and requiring masks, and my staff's been really great at upholding that. But having this printer was a long time goal of mine, and I didn't think, I mean, it's an expensive setup. So I was like, oh, there's no way like I'm going to be able to do that for a while. And out of this year, because I was able to work on different areas of my business and including my finances, we were able to do this. And having this here is just like game changer. It's so nice because we're still kind of, we've only been using it for a couple of weeks, so we're still kind of figuring out the timeline of when we should order base fabric and transfer paper and whatever. But as long as we have those in-house, we can print anything, anytime. and that the turnaround time for our custom orders, for our regular products, for our restocks, it's virtually non-existent now. And it was really about 3 to 4 weeks that we were waiting for fabric for the past few months. So it's not only does it save us so much time, it saves money. It's more eco-friendly. We're not wasting on shipping. It's awesome. I don't really have any other words for it. It's great. I love it so much.
Well, the more you control of your own business, the more you control.
I did have to get a special use permit from the city to have them up by the window because we have a light manufacturing ordinance, which I helped put into place so that I could sew down here because it's technically not zoned. It wasn't zoned like that. And so it's supposed to be 25 feet from a pedestrian right of way. So I decided how cool would it be if people can watch from the front windows? And I mean, where else can you see fabric being printed?
Yeah.
And most people don't even think about how it's even made. So I went to city council and I got it approved. And so we can have them up by the windows. And I think it's just such a unique draw for our town. And it just continues to add to that development and momentum and revitalization of Allegan that a lot of people are now seeing is happening.
How do you come up with these designs? Do you pick them up from somewhere else? Do you actually draw them out? Or where do you get your ideas?
Kind of a little of both. I actually have two graphic design interns that are working for me from the tech center in Allegan here. They're high school students. So they're helping design, and then they have two other girls in their class that are also designing for me. And I'll tell them, like, okay, we need a blueberry pattern this week. And then they'll design them and send them to me, and then I choose which ones I want. Otherwise, I'll doodle, draw things. I'll find other artists to buy patterns from and then use them in our Michigan design or whatever. But it's a lot of, I don't know, just I look at what my customers want, and then we draw it up and print it out. And there's also a plethora of graphic design artists out there that are willing to sell their work or do custom work for me to help alleviate some of that pressure for me to just design them all as well.
Are you doing anything as we're talking, the holidays are coming up. Are you doing anything for Christmas that is different than the rest of the year?
Yes. So we are actually closed on Black Friday every year, which is weird for some people, but to me, that's more of a corporate thing. So it gives us a chance to reset our store that day for Christmas. And then on Small Business Saturday, we do what we call Pink Saturday, and that's our Christmas launch every year. So we'll still have that this year. It actually falls on my birthday this year. I don't know what it's going to look like because we still have capacity limits in the store and stuff like that. We might try and push more virtual than in-store, but we just started talking about how we're going to be doing that. But either way, November 28th, we will be doing Christmas things one way or another.
Another thing that you do for your community, which is commendable, is you contribute to various fundraisers for scholarships and nonprofit organizations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Being involved in my local community is more important to me than I ever realized. If you would have told me a few years ago that this is where I would be and I would be involved on multiple city boards and doing these different things in Allegan, I would have told you were crazy. But now, I'm just as passionate about my community and the growth of Allegan as I am about my own business. And one of the fundraisers that we do every year that we actually just wrapped up this past week is the Joe Kavanaugh Scholarship. And that goes to a local Allegan senior in honor of a close family friend of mine that suddenly passed away 3 years ago yesterday, actually. And so we developed that fundraiser. We did, oh gosh, I don't know, we've done so many different things. We did a lot of, for the Black Lives Matter movement, we made five $1,000 donations to different organizations throughout Michigan. And we did sorry, I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm trying to think of everything that we've done this year. It seems like an eternity ago, but in, I think, February, we launched our dog bandanas at the shop, and we donated part of the proceeds to a local animal shelter. And I don't know, I just feel like if I'm going to be here, the community is what's supporting me, so I should support the community back.
Well, I can see why you've become a healthy business. Those kind of things come back to you, I think. So you do dog bandanas too?
Yeah, it's not one of our main products, but I'm very passionate about rescue animals. I actually have two rescue dogs, and I was like, I would make them stuff just for me. But then people kept asking, and now that we have the printer here, there's a lot of ideas up our sleeves for maybe some matching sets with headbands and bandanas. So that's going to be fun. But people love stuff for dogs. And for every bandana that we sell, we put away $1 to donate to our local animal shelter as well. So.
Are you a Elgin native when you talk about your community? Has this always been your community?
Yes, I actually graduated from Elgin High School in 2010, and then I moved to Ann Arbor and went to school there. I moved to Spain. I studied abroad there, and my plan after graduation was to go to Spain for 1 to 2 years and teach English and travel abroad. And then I ended up getting back accepted into public health school, and then my business started. So Sassy Olive kind of kept me here, so that's probably good. But people told me I was crazy to put my store here when I did in April of 2017. They told me that it was dumb, that nothing's going on here. And I was like, oh, well, my business has been successful this far because of the people in my community and local to me. So I have a lot of faith that if I put it here, they're going to support it. And now looking at what's happened in the past 3 years, 3.5 years down here, it's insane to see the growth here. And I'm just really proud to be a part of that.
Well, thank you for all that you do, Landria, and thank you for taking a little time out of your busy day to talk with us.
Yes, thank you for reaching out, and I'm glad you did. It was fun.